brothers, it's always a delight to come back to Antioch and to see so many of my brothers' faces and be encouraged because Jesus is in you and to fellowship together, to grow in my faith. And Mark has a long and fruitful ministry here, and I love to come back and visit and see the progress that has been made every time I come. And your presence here is a ministry of presence. We gather in the Lord's name, we show our faces to each other, we affirm each other in God's good message. And I am late. I wanted to be 15 minutes early so I could spend more time. I have lots of excuses, but no good reasons, so I will only ask for your forgiveness. So that is my purpose this morning, is to challenge you and to encourage you to renew your commitment to deliver God's message of salvation, deliver the gospel to the people that God has put in your life. The light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the message of eternal life and salvation. It's the one thing we can do here, which will not be done when we are in glory. And so as our primary work, it is to be our focus. The gospel is mentioned a lot in Scripture. The word gospel, if you search, it just appears all over the place. But there's not that many places where it actually says, what is the gospel? What words are we delivering to people? What are we saying? What is that message? It's good news. There's lots of good news. When my wife and I found out we're pregnant, going to have another baby, and we have that good news. That's not the good news. It's good news. So what is the good news? So I want to do an exercise really quick here. If you have your phone or some kind of pen and paper, let's take 60 seconds to write down, if you've got somebody dying in your arms and you know he needs to hear the gospel, what do you say to him in 60 seconds? It's got to be some words. What are those words? So we're not going to compare notes. This is just for you. It's a good exercise for you. You've got some words written down. Now we're going to look at what the Bible says the gospel message is, and then you can compare. And I'm sure, and it's not a trick question, right? We're Christians. We know the gospel. We know how we got saved. We're saved. We know what it is that saved us. But what is the essence of it? I'm sure you said something relevant. All of you had good sense not to talk about Kermit the Frog or the Super Bowl or your favorite team. You said something relevant to the gospel. But it's good, it's encouraging, it's strengthening to know the essence. If you think of it as a target, what is the bullseye? Can I say this in 60 seconds, or is it going to take me 10 minutes? In Scripture, if we look at what the Bible says the content of the message is, you can say it in one sentence. You can boil it down to its essence. We want the foundation of the house, and there's a lot more to talk about. But what is the foundation? So this question was... It came to my mind and it troubled me deeply when I took an evangelism course, Evangelism Explosion, put out by the Coleridge, D. James Kennedy. Maybe you've taken it. It's excellent. I learned a lot from it. It's very good training. I don't mean to say anything negative about it, but I got confused because... In that training, they give you an outline of the gospel message. It's just on one sheet, and they say, memorize this. It all fits on one page. And at the top of the page, it says, clinic essentials. Oh, essentials. Here it is. And on this page of essentials, there's 72 points. 72? And you have to memorize it before they send you out. You know you're eventually going to go out, meet strangers, knock on doors, deliver the gospel message, and you have to memorize all 72 points. Each week you meet, somebody's sitting there, you deliver them, and that's your grade, is how many you got. He checks them off, check, check. Oh, you only got 67.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, come back next week when you get 72, then we're ready. Ugh. Is all this essential? Some of the points. These are good, right? Listen to these. Number 13, heaven is a free gift. Number 19, man is a sinner. Number 28, God is merciful. Number 30, God is just. I'm looking at them because I don't have them memorized. These are all good and true, biblical, relevant. These are things you need to say when you're giving the gospel. Is this the essence of the gospel message? 38, the gift of eternal life is received by faith. Boom, yeah, good, true, right. But what is the essence? So the word gospel appears a lot. The actual content is not given as often. If I could get someone, I'm going to ask for, let's see, we need four passages. If someone could right now read to us Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And let's also, someone prepare to read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. And Romans chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. So let's do Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Great, thank you. Isn't that amazing? He says, life and death, curse and blessing. If you don't get the gospel right, he doesn't tell you what it is. You got to find that somewhere else. And that's the way it is in a lot of places. You just search on that word gospel. And it just assumes you know it. So we're going to look at it in these other three passages, which I just mentioned. So who has 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4? Now, some of these verses, each one of these is four verses. Some of them are just giving context, and the gospel is just one little piece. So each time, listen for, what does it sound like is the essential piece? And in these three especially, as you're listening to the three, what is the common thing he mentions every time? There's some structure, maybe there's a chimney. What's the actual foundation, which he never misses when he tells us what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Good. Oh, it's a beautiful message. We never get tired of hearing it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Great. Thank you, Micah. And Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Amen. Good. So, I've got too much stuff here, so I'm going to rush through instead of taking time to, you know, write down all, if I had a PowerPoint and all that. Let me just deliver it to you, and then you can go check this for yourself. Never trust the preacher. Look it up for yourself. The one thing that's in common in all three of those is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He mentions other things, right? Our sins. Jesus dying for our sins. Very relevant. But he never misses. He talked at, in two out of three, he mentions descended from David. He's got to be the Messiah. He's got to be the chosen one, or else nothing else matters. But he never misses the resurrection, and that makes sense. That's why it's called good news. Sin, we're talking about sin. Wait, I thought you were going to give me good news. The good news is the resurrection. That's the bullseye. That's the foundation on which everything else is built. And I think it's beautiful that Jesus summarizes the package of the gospel in that way, because the gospel does, you can't get them saved until you get them lost. The beauty of the good news is highlighted by the reality of the bad news. So we have to deliver the bad news. But when Jesus puts together this whole big package of the gospel, he doesn't focus on that. If you're doing glass half empty, half full, there's bad and good, but Jesus says this is good. This is good news. So don't forget, when you're telling people about their sin and, ugh, really, I'm a sinner. You keep hammering me with that. I thought you were giving me something good. It is good. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead and your resurrection from the dead, as he promised, if you believe his gospel. So staying focused on that helps me to not be distracted by all the things you can get distracted by when you're delivering the gospel. Here's a good typical summary of the gospel. It's in a systematic theology textbook. It's faithful to Scripture. There's 3 points. He has three. All people have sinned, Romans 3:23. The penalty for our sin is death, Romans 6:23. And then point three, Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sins, Romans 5:8. You got a little piece of the good news at the end. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. But don't forget to complete that. That means I no longer have my sins. That's good news. And none of that matters if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Let's not forget that good news. And so you hear the gospel every Sunday. You come to church, you hear the gospel. It never changes. I remember being 10 years old, unsaved, in church, and the preacher's doing that thing again where Jesus died. When do we ever get past that? No, you don't ever get past that. That's your life. It never gets old for those who believe it and love it. Preach the gospel to yourself, we hear, because it not only saves you, it sanctifies you, it cleanses you every time you ask again for forgiveness and you believe that the forgiveness is real because Jesus is not in the grave, but he rose. We preach the gospel to each other, brothers and sisters, not just when we show up every Sunday and hear the preacher give us the gospel again. We do it especially on Easter Sunday when we say to each other, what? He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's the gospel in what? 3 words. I remind my children over and over. Hey, guys. You know, lots of different gospels out there, but even the Christian gospel can get weighed down. What's the good news? Jesus rose from the dead. If he didn't, nothing else matters. So be encouraged. The gospel really is good news. When you wake up, I woke up this morning, nothing makes sense. I had a dream that I stole somebody's cat. I don't even like cats. The dream makes no sense. I don't even hardly even remember it, but I do remember waking up with this intense burden of guilt. I was still kind of halfway in that reality. Oh, I felt like I was being hunted down in that dream. I was with somebody and somebody's chasing me and I've done something so horrible, terribly sinful. I'm in big trouble. I'm going to die. Just haunting darkness. The good news, Jesus rose from the dead. The good news, that's not my reality. The good news, I have haunting reality of sin in my real life, not just my dreams, but Jesus rose from the dead. I'm forgiven, and the proof of my forgiveness is that he's not in the grave. Be encouraged also that you only have to remember one thing. That can be intimidating. That's one big reason why we don't do it, right? Ugh, what if he asked me about evolution? Ugh, what if he's a Mormon and I don't know all the Mormon doctrines? Ugh, what if he throws something else in my face? Ugh, what if he starts talking about predestination and free will? Ugh, what if he starts asking me about the people in Africa who have never heard of Jesus? Ugh, all these questions. Those are not for you to have to answer. Hey, you can study all that. That's good. If you want to learn all that and be ready with an answer for all of it, good for you. But you don't have to. When Jesus commands us to preach the gospel, you know, Father, I pray you'll get this guy past the demons of his lies that he's believing. And the way you're going to do that through me is delivering the gospel, the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know, if I can help you with these other questions, maybe, maybe not. That might not be for me. But what I know is for me is the one thing I have to know, that Jesus rose from the dead. Remembering that one thing will help me stay focused and avoid the distraction of what are some other topics that can... One of the primary ones. I pray before I deliver the gospel that I will not be distracted, because it's amazing, isn't it? You go to talk about Jesus, and somebody wants to talk about the president. Well, all you evangelical conservative Christians, you all vote the same way because blah, blah, blah politics. And they say 10 wrong things. It's so easy to blow away all 10 of those wrong things they said. But whoa, 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 whoa. No. I'm not getting hooked on that. You're not going to distract me with that. I'm not here to talk to you about issues of politics and policy. That's not my thing. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. He rose from the dead. You can get your guy in power or not, and then you're just going to die anyway. So the purpose today is to challenge you and encourage you to renew your commitment to deliver that message and to stay focused on it and to not be distracted from that good news. And what I've said so far, I could have worked against myself by focusing on it and saying it's really important, and now, oh no, I gotta get that message right. And what if I go to talk to somebody about Jesus rising from the dead and I just never get to that, and then I'm a failure? So I want to finish with this good testimony from, many of you know of R.C. Sproul. I want to give you his explanation of how he came to faith, the conversation he had with someone. And I want you to notice that in his testimony, the gospel was not delivered to him. And so the point is, when we have the intention to deliver the gospel, it's good for us to know the gospel. It's good for our own hearts. It's good for us to have that intention to deliver it to others. And then with that intention, pray that God would use that in however way it develops. It might develop in a way that you have a conversation with someone about they just lost a loved one, that person is dead. And now I had my intention, but I'm actually, it turns out, just going to listen to you for 30 minutes grieving. And I'm not going to say that Jesus rose from the dead. And I have a long-term perspective in my relationship with this person. And maybe I'll get to that later, but maybe not. Maybe I'll just come back and pray that someone else will deliver the gospel. Or maybe I'll trust that the gospel seed was already planted 20 years ago, and it's still planted, and it's going to get watered in some other way. R.C. Sproul: I became a Christian in college my first week at college. At the end of freshman orientation week, my buddy and I were going out somewhere. We got to the parking lot, and I reached in my pocket and realized I was out of cigarettes. So we both went back into the dorm where the cigarette machine was, and I put my quarter in and got my Luckies. There was a fellow sitting there at the table. He invited us to sit down and he started asking us questions. He was a Christian. He talked to me like he knew Jesus personally. I had never, ever in my life met anyone like that. He didn't give me a presentation of the gospel. He talked about the wisdom of God, and he quoted a verse from Ecclesiastes, and I think I'm the first person, the only person in the history of the church to be converted by this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. Somebody know it? From memory. It's a good one. It literally says this. Look it up. If a tree falls to the south or to the north in the place where the tree falls, there it is. Wait. Is this for real? Sproul says, he quoted that to me. Now listen to God's work in Sproul's heart. I saw myself as a fallen tree. Inert, corrupt, rotting, going nowhere but to death, and I was overwhelmed by it. I didn't raise my hand or sign a page or pray the sinner's prayer. I just went to my room and felt an overwhelming conviction of my sin, and I confessed my sin before God and experienced my salvation in terms of an intense awareness of forgiveness. Wonderful. So, Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this message which we love, which is our life. It gives us purpose. It gets us out of bed every morning. It gives us hope and meaning. And we desire to see others resurrected from the dead. I pray that you would bless us as we go out. Strengthen us with this light, this truth. Give us the freedom and the confidence that you are at work. We have our plans. Bless us as we go out and give us confidence that even if our plans don't go as we thought they would, you are with us. You are planting your word. You are watering it. You are giving it life and causing it to grow and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.